Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all find the Word of God this evening and take it, open it up to 1 Corinthians in chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 13. And this has been coined by Christendom as the love chapter. And that would be false. It's the charity chapter. And it doesn't speak of love. It speaks of charity. And so we are going to look at that this evening. And we are ending a study tonight that we've been looking at for several weeks now. We started in a study of personal spiritual development. And in conjunction with that, we've gone into looking at the recipe of the Christian life in 2 Peter in chapter number 1. And Peter desired that we would add to our faith so that we could abound in all good works and so that we could be fruitful in our Christian life. He gave us the promise. We have a biblical promise that we can take to the bank. Amen. That if we grow in a knowledge of Jesus Christ, we can have. Quickly, don't lose your pace in 1 Corinthians 13. But we're ending this study, so I just want to remind us. Go over to 2 Peter in chapter number 1. Keep your place there. It says grace, verse number 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Then verse number 3, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us. And then he goes on to discuss the things that we need to add to our life. And he gives us 7 things. He says, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Why? For if these things, those things you just mentioned, be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, big deal. I get to grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's a big deal. Because if you grow in a knowledge of Jesus Christ, you'll have grace and peace. And if you'll grow in a knowledge of who God is and in His Son Jesus Christ, you'll have all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So it's a huge deal, and I really honestly believe it's why most people are void of grace and peace. I'm talking about Christian people are void of grace and peace in their life is because they've ceased to grow in a knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're not hungry for the things of God. They're not seeking to learn anything new. They've got it all figured out. That's a terrible place for the child of God to be. David desired that the mercies of the Lord would be fresh to him every morning, and that he would be continually renewed by the grace of God. And you and I should constantly, daily be seeking after God. You and I should have a hunger and a thirst for God. It says in verse number 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence, make your calling election sure, for if you do these things, those things that we listed, ye shall never fall. Man, what a promise. You say, why are people just like an up and down roller coaster? And I'm telling you, that's not just this world that is that way. There are people that attend church. There are people that name the name of Christ. And their life is an up and down roller coaster because they're not applying these things that we've been talking about for weeks now. They're not applying them. And the Bible says in verse 9, go back to verse 9, for he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and here's a sad truth, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. I mean, we can get to the place to where we don't even know whether we're saved. We don't even remember whether or not we know Christ as our personal Savior. Not because we were not saved, but because we haven't applied these things. We haven't applied these things in life. And again, we reiterated that. We talked about that. It's not our place to say who's saved and who's lost. It's not my business. But listen to me. I think people can get to a place where in their heart they're like, I'm not even saved. I lost my salvation. No, you didn't. You probably just have sin in your life that's keeping you from adding these things. And so tonight we're going to look at the subject of charity. It's the very last of these things that are mentioned. It's the final, if you will, ingredient that needs to be added unto our life. And certainly the time of year we're in, it is a time of charity. I was in the mall the other day, and there was a woman that, I mean, was making a ruckus with a bell over the concept of charity. I mean, she wasn't just your normal bell ringer. I mean, she was losing her mind with that bell, amen, and the little red pot. And her goal was to raise all sorts of money. And I'll just say this, we have a misconception of what charity is in America today. In fact, we completely misdefine charity today, based upon biblical standards. We're going to look at that. But as we've studied these things, and we pointed this out last week, I want to point it out again. We discussed how the first five, all right, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, those things have to deal with our relationship to God. They have to deal with our relationship with God, to God. And that should be no surprise, because God's interested in having a relationship with us, right? Amen. God desires to have relationship, to have fellowship with man, to have meaningful communion with man. That's God's desire, is to walk in fellowship with us. That's what he wants to have happen. And the last two, brotherly kindness, and we're going to talk about tonight, charity, have to do with our relationship towards our fellow man and towards those who are around us. And so we'd understand that to be a pretty simple concept, even as we look at the Ten Commandments. There are the first four laws that deal with our relationship to God. The last six deal with our relationship towards our fellow man. The first four, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt have any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day. Keep holy. Listen, all of those, they deal with our relationship towards God. The last six, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. Listen, all the last six, they deal with our relationship towards those who are around us. And then we get into the New Testament, and we are reminded that upon two things hang all the law and the prophets. Love thy neighbor. Love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and mind. That's towards God. And then love thy neighbor as thyself. That's towards our fellow man. Now, all through the Word of God, this is not a new concept, but we see it here in these things that Peter says are vital to our life if we're going to have grace and peace. Vital to our life if we're going to be able to walk in the will of God in all godliness and in all areas of life. These are vital to our Christian life. And so, we looked last week at brotherly kindness, and we tried to establish that brotherly kindness would be towards those who are around us and those who would name the name of Christ, those who would be saved, those who would know Christ as their personal Savior. We have been made brothers and sisters in Christ as we've been adopted into the family of God. We are now brothers and sisters in Christ, and we made the distinction. I just want to reiterate this as well. We made the distinction between the family of God and the church. Now, in the church, to be a part of the church, you have to be part of the family of God. You have to be saved to be baptized. And so we can have great fellowship with brothers and sisters here at the house of God, but not everybody here at the house of God is the entirety of who we would call our brother or sister in Christ. There might be people that are not here for who knows that what reason. I'm just of the opinion everybody should be here. But then you might not have a place to sit down. So, you know, that's a joke. All right. But honestly, I mean, I can stop and I can wonder. I mean, I don't understand, you know, why they would go here, why they would go there. I don't get it. But listen to me. The honest truth is that if they name the name of Christ, we have fellowship one with another. And we should have fellowship one with another. And there shouldn't be anything that we would say, listen, there is no possible way that they know Christ and I know Christ, and I can't have fellowship with them. I don't want to look at them. I don't even want to get in. I don't even want to smell them. Stay as far away from me as they can. That would not be the Spirit of God. It would not be. And we should have a love for those who love our Savior. We should. We should have fellowship. And I hope you would know, folks, that they don't go here, but you do know that they know Christ. I know people, and they have as clear a salvation testimony as I do. That doesn't mean they have everything right. Some of them are messed up in some other areas, but they know what salvation is. And I should be able to have fellowship with them and should be able to do so without having arguments. That doesn't mean we always agree on everything, but I don't always agree with everything with my brother. I mean, my real brother. I mean, in fact, we had a lot of arguments growing up, but we still love each other. Amen. And my sister, I'll tell you, talk about sisters. You can have arguments with sisters. Amen. And if you had a sister, you know what arguing is. But listen, I still love her. She's my sister. And so it doesn't mean that we all get along and we're all the best of buds and we're all chummy with each other. But understand with me, there should be kindness towards one another. There shouldn't be any hatred. There shouldn't be anything inside of us that would cause someone that they would think that we have a disdain for them if they truly know Christ, if they're truly in the family of God. And so then we discuss how charity differs from brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is towards those who are saved. We should have a kindness towards our brothers, our sisters in Christ. Charity has to do with our attention that we would give towards them that are without the family of God. We could actually say charity would be applicable to all of mankind or all of humanity. We should have a spirit, if you will, of charity. When we're talking about charity, we're not talking about what I might do for you. If I do good toward those who are going to do good to me, Peter in 1 Peter, he talks about, listen, if we're only going around doing good for those who would do good to us, what reward is there in that? And we're supposed to have brotherly kindness. Right? But charity would go a step further. Charity would say, listen, I'm going to have a kind spirit towards you. I'm going to have a desire to share, if you will, a love towards you, irregardless of what you could ever do for me. That would be the spirit of charity. And just again, you give the illustration, when I get my kids Christmas gifts, they don't sit around. We don't sit around and say, "Okay, Dad and Mom decided to have charity upon you, you poor little children, this year." And we took of our own money and we went to stores and we bought you the various gifts that you want because we have charity upon you. No, it's because we love them. And regardless of whether their name's on the naughty list, amen, we're probably going to get them something anyway because we do love them. We do love them, and we want them to know we love them, and so we're going to act that out. Well, listen to me, it's not over charity. Let's look at charity quickly. Number one, charity defined. Did these get passed out, by the way?
Yes.
All right, good job, way to go. Charity defined. Charity, we know it comes from this word agape. Agape. Agape is defined as love. It is an affirmation of benevolence or affection or benevolence. Specifically, a love feast, a feast of charity, dear or love. That's the Greek definition of it. It bears with it the idea of love. But I want to point this out. I know I put it at C, but I'll point it out again in a moment. Charity is not a verb. In language, it is not a verb. Love is a verb. It is. And when we're talking about charity, we're not talking about, if you will, action. We're talking about a person, place, or a thing. And I found out today that it also is an idea. I never learned that in school. Maybe I missed that day. But some of you are shaking your head like, what? I don't know that either. But apparently that's what English is being taught today, is that it's person, place, or thing, or idea. They're added to it. You know, Pluto's no longer a planet. An idea is now a noun. But anyway, this is new higher education. And so we understand this, that charity is a noun. So therefore, we can understand this. Charity doesn't necessarily have action to it whatsoever. But understand with me, if one has charity, action will be born from it. If I have a charitable spirit, if I have a charitable attitude, if I have a heart of charity, it is going to have to be manifest in some way. It's not this secret thing that nobody will ever know about until we all get to heaven. Amen. It's going to be manifest in one way or another, that there is charity that is part of who I am. It is part of, get this, my person. It's part of who I am. It's a noun. Webster defined charity as this: in a general sense, love, benevolence, goodwill, the disposition of heart, which inclines men to think favorably on their fellow man, to do them good. In theological sense, it includes supreme love of God and the universal good will of man. And he lists those verses there for us, if you will, so we can see charity. We're going to look at some other verses here in a moment. You can look those up in just a minute. But we wanted to delineate this. We want us to understand that charity is not love. And so when we look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, you found that, right? 1 Corinthians in chapter number 13. Let's read that together, because we stop and say, oh, this is the love chapter. And listen to me. No, charity is far beyond love. It's far beyond love. It's different than love. And we want to look at that this evening. It says this, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbals. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. That's a verse most men should learn. Amen. For not me, other men. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but look at this, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is charity. You say, well, wait a second. What does it mean, the greatest of these? It doesn't mean that you should choose one over the other. Like, I'm just going to choose to be a charitable person. I'm not going to worry about faith or hope. No. It's saying that's giving us an order of importance. All three are needed. The greatest, though, is charity. The greatest is charity. Let's look at the nature of charity, if you will. Let's just go through some verses and look at the nature of charity. Again, charity is not a verb. It is not necessarily an action, although I do believe this strongly. It will produce action. It will produce action. Just go through these verses, the nature of charity. We're already there in 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, verse number 8 and verse number 1. Now, as touching things offered... 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now, as touching things offered to unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but look at this. Charity edifieth. Charity edifieth. Again, edifieth would be a verb. It would be. But listen to me. Charity is one that builds up. It builds up. A charitable heart, a charitable spirit is looking to edify. That's the nature of charity. It's looking for the building up of others. It's looking and seeking that it might be able to have a hand in someone else being edified, in someone else being, if you will, built up. That's what charity is all about. That could come in many different forms, but in the nature of charity, in the spirit of charity, in the heart of charity, that's part of its nature. It wants to build others up. Charity edifieth. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 1. Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye might, that ye may prophesy. Follow after charity. I have to make a choice. Are you with me? It's something that must be followed. You understand there are many different things in life you and I can follow, but part of the nature of charity is generally that which we'd understand is something that I as an individual have to choose to do, meaning that charity is not necessarily part of my human nature, but it is something I can choose to follow. Are you with me? It's something I can make a choice. I'm going to follow after charity. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 14. Again, speaks kind of to along the same lines. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 14. It says this, "Let all things be done with charity." Let all things be done. We're talking about the nature of charity. We'd understand by implication then, if you will, that you are, again, are making a choice how you're going to do things. You're making a choice of what you're going to do. And certainly we can all be in that place where we've done a favor for somebody, but we really didn't want to. I mean, we might have done what other people would look around and go, "Oh man, that was so charitable. I mean, they just showed love to that individual. They just did something wonderful to that individual." But you in your own heart and you in your own spirit know how it was done. We know personally, and listen, if we know personally how it was done, and we knew we do it grudgingly and we did it with a poor spirit, understand with me, guess who else knows? God does. God knows when we do things and what spirit in which we do them. Let all your things be done with charity. Look at Colossians 3 and verse number 14. Colossians 3 and verse number 14. Colossians 3:14 says, "And above all these things, put on charity." Put on charity. I'm getting warm. It's something you gotta put on. It's something you're gonna have to get, and you're gonna have to decide. You know what? I'm gonna put charity on, as if you would a coat. Come on, as if you would be something that would surround you. That would listen. It would be something that would be visible about you. It's put on. It's again a choice you make to put on charity. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15. It says, "This thou knowest..." I'm sorry, I'll wait for you. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 5. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith in that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy..." All right, I'm in 2 Timothy 1:5. 1 Timothy 1:5 is a great verse for Mother's Day. This is about charity, though. It says in 1 Timothy 1:5, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart." The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Not all I do is out of a, come on, pure heart. Not out of a pure heart. But if I'm going to follow after the commands of God, it should be all done out of a pure heart. A heart of charity. I should be expressed by charity. I should have a pure heart of charity towards everything I do. And I'm not saying that I do. I'm saying that we should. I don't think any one of us would stand here and say, "Oh man, everything I always do, Pastor, I do it just out of a pure heart because I love God." I'm glad for you. I can't be in the same category as you, though. Because sometimes I just do things because, I know it's the right thing to do. I know it's what I'm supposed to do. So I guess I'll do it. But listen, the command of God, the end of it would be that we would just have a pure heart, a right heart before God, and that we would have a spirit of charity. A heart of charity. Last verse, 1 Peter 4 and verse number 8. I'll try to get to 1 Peter, not 2 Peter. Amen. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 8. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover, look at this, a multitude of sins. Charity shall cover a multitude of sins. We understand the laws of sowing and reaping, right? That which a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I know I've taught here before, and I've said to you, you know what? There's a lot of us, we need to just be praying for crop failure on what we're reaping. We need to pray for God to have to send some kind of plague upon the seed that we've sown, and ask Him to send the sunshine and the rain upon some other seed that we've sown. But the reality is this, that God said, Peter said in God's Word that, listen, if we'll have charity, it'll cover a multitude of sins. Well, why is that? Because when we have sin in our life, it reveals another heart condition, doesn't it? Come on, if we have sin in our life, it reveals a condition, a heart condition of pride and of selfishness. That's what sin would reveal about my heart and about your heart. And he said, listen, if we'll have charity, which is a noun, it starts right here. It's going to manifest it in ways of love. It'll manifest it in ways of kindness. It's going to start right here. Listen, he said this, it'll cover a multitude of sins caused by my own selfishness and pride. So that's the nature of charity. We can look at those. We can say, all right, these are the nature of charity. Look at the note. It is important that we understand the difference, though, between charity and love. The word in the Bible, listen, it could have just as easily, they could have used the word love in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 when they translated the Bible. They could have. As we look through the Bible, they could have said, the word is love. But no, they used a word called charity to define what's taking place in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. I mean, the men who are much wiser than you and I, the men who were able to know what the language meant, the men who translated for us so that we might have it preserved for us tonight, they specifically chose a different word than love, and they chose to use the word charity. The translators of the King James Bible did know the difference between the two. They did know the difference. How do you know? Because they used love in other places. I mean, it's not like the word love is absent from the Bible, but here is used the word charity, and charity is a word used for is a word they used here on purpose, and it's used throughout the Word of God on purpose as opposed to love. Evidently, the translator saw the importance in distinguishing some of the uses of agape in a specific way. They didn't get it wrong, is what I'm saying. There's no error here. There was a purpose behind why they were doing what they're doing. So we want to, if we can, discover that, the difference between love and charity. Because our first thought, I'm telling you, when you think of charity, is we're thinking of what something generally what we give. Come on, that's our first thought. When you think of charity, you're like, oh yeah, I gave to charity, and man, I got a donation receipt down at Value Village, and I love taking things in there so I can get a donation receipt and for my charitable giving. That's generally where most of our minds go, is that which we've done, our actions, if you will. But charity isn't an action. Charity is a thing. Charity is a spirit, if you will, that God desires for each and every has. So we want to understand and differentiate between the two. Charity is the epitome of perfection in the Christian life. Charity is the epitome of perfection in the Christian life. And again, 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 and verse number 13, it just says that the greatest of these is charity. It's the greatest of the three abiding virtues that any child of God could have, is this attitude, this spirit, this character, if you will, this conversation in our life of charity. It is the bond of perfection, according to Colossians, and we're going to read. I'm going to read a lot of these scriptures for us, if you will. But Colossians 3 and verse 14, we already read, tells us to put on charity. It is the end of the commandment, according to 1 Timothy 1:15. Again, we've already read that. Of the seven things, Peter exhorts the saints to add to their faith. It is the seventh. It's the seventh thing here we're looking at that we're supposed to add to our faith. It's supposed to be a part of our life. It's supposed to be a part of who we are. Through the practice of charity, the Christian life reaches its pinnacle. I mean, we get to, when somebody says, I have a life that is governed and life is defined by the word charity. Listen to me, we've gotten to the pinnacle of where the Lord would want us to be and where the Christian life should be lived in a life of charity. To know what charity is, we need to know what it's not. To know what charity is, we need to know what it is not. Today, people often think of charity as nothing more than giving money for some good cause. I mean, listen to me. I'm not against putting money in the red buckets when they go by. I know you go to every store and they want you to round your dollar up. That's all well and good. If you feel led to do those things, that's fine. I generally, when we go to those things, I say no. I give money to our missions program at church. Thank you. I just let them know that. Good time to, you are invited to come. We're having a missionary this week. I mean, sometimes you never know how you might be able to use that. But listen to me. There's a benevolence fund here at church that we use as well. If you say I need to give money to something, but we understand that today that's where our minds usually go. The Bible strongly contrasts the charity proposes the misunderstood charity of. Oh my goodness. The Bible strongly contrasts the charity, it proposes the misunderstood charity of giving funds. 1 Corinthians 3:13. I'm sorry, that's misworded, I guess. But 1 Corinthians 13:3, all right? It says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It profiteth me nothing. That means, listen, you can give in the little red buckets every time you go by. And if you don't already have charity in here, it's profitless. You can be Bill Gates. And you can aspire to some of the greatest charitable, what this world would call charitable donations that this world has ever seen. But understand with me, I don't know why Bill Gates does what he does. Only he and God do, but understand with me, it doesn't matter how big or how small your giving might be. If it didn't come from a heart of charity, profit is nothing. I don't care what the world might say about it. The world say, well, you'd snivel at the giving of Bill Gates. Well, listen, I'll snivel at anybody's giving if I want to. It's my choice. I'm an American, amen? No, but listen to me. People give for all sorts of different reasons. People give because they feel bad. I just feel bad for their condition. That's not necessarily charity. Well, I'm going to give so that I can promote the change in society that I'd like to see. It's not charity. I'm going to give because it's a political issue and I'm going to give a donation towards towards this place or that place because I'm trying to promote a political agenda. I'm telling you, people give for all sorts of different reasons. Doesn't necessarily mean that they are giving charitably. According to the verse, it's possible to give all of your goods to feed the poor and yet have not charity. Therefore, the giving of funds is not biblical charity. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't tithe or give to missions or like that. That's God's. Look at number three. Biblical charity can also be distinguished from other forms of love. Though most dictionaries say that charity includes the idea of love of God for man, there are no indications that it is used in that way in the King James Bible. We don't have that. That charity is a form of God's love towards us. In fact, it is not specifically used, number two, of love of man for God either. You can go do a word study on the word charity. It's not necessarily used in that form or in that fashion as we see it in the Word of God. I will say this. I know the thought and the idea. We can say, well, the thought and the idea is there. I'm just saying, specifically when we're looking at the nature and we're looking at the Word and the etymology of the Word, it's not necessarily used in those forms and fashions. Number three, although there are some passages where the Word could be used in application of the of some of the forms of love, those passages where the Word is specifically defined never refer to God's love towards man or man's love towards God. So, charity specifically refers to the love that we have towards our fellow man. We find that charity is used in our love toward those who are around us. Remember, we already looked at our love towards our brother. We're talking about our love for just fellow man around us everywhere. We're talking about our character towards humanity. Paul stresses that we are to walk charitably towards our weaker brothers in Romans 14 and verse number 13. If you will, look there. Romans 14, verse number 13 through 15. Romans 14, verses 13 through 15. It says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, and now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died." We're not walking charitably. You say, well, how is that? Because we do not have a spirit and a heart to be not throwing a stumbling block in front of those who are around us, specifically our brothers who we're supposed to show kindness to. Then in number two, he prays the Thessalonians because the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile." I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because of your faith growing exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth." It is a charity. It's a care, a concern, a heart's condition towards them, those who are around. In 1 Peter, in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, we already looked at, Peter told the believers, "Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging." We're understanding that charity is allowing us to have a heart condition that would manifest itself in action towards those who are around us. John encouraged the saints, "Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church." Not just to brothers, but to strangers, those who are outside the family of God, those who are not a part of the church or are not a part of what's going on here, but that our charity was made manifest, our heart's condition was made manifest to those who are around us. In all of these things, look at number five. In all of these passages, charity describes the love of the saints for others. It's our love for those who are around us, for everyone who is around us, whether they be our brother in Christ or whether they would be outside of the family of God, they would be lost among yourselves and to the brethren. In one case, in 3 John 1, 5 through 6, if you look there real quick, 3 John 1, 5, and 6, it says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity. They've borne witness of thy charity. But in them all, God is referring to the specific, special love that believers have for others. That's what God's trying to help us see. That's what charity would be, is how we act, how we not how we just act, but how we even feel and care and think. All things that nobody else would ever even know other than God Himself. And that would be charity. There are plenty of passages that speak of the importance of love in general, but the Bible speaks of charity to point us to a specific kind, if you will, of love. To a specific kind of love. Look at this lastly, 1 through 4, here we go. Charity is the love towards others that suffers long with them and is kind. 1 Corinthians 3:4. Well, what others? Everyone suffereth long and is kind. How many of you have you experienced rage in stores here lately? Have you watched anybody? If you went out on Christmas, was it Black Friday? I'm sorry. People losing their minds. I mean, I almost don't even like watching the news around Thanksgiving. People standing in lines, losing their minds at one another because they got a little slip of paper and I didn't get a little slip of paper and I've been here an hour and 2 hours and I'm all night. And they listen, but charity says, listen, we suffer long towards everyone. We suffer long with those people who would suffer long with us, and we suffer long with those who we don't even know. Come on. It means that we have patience that's working in our lives. That we would be steady in our lives. Number two, charity does not behave itself unseemly. Does not seek to get its own. It's not easily provoked, according to 1 Corinthians 13:5. That's charity. Do you understand with me where each one of those things start? Unseemly behavior. So I just can't control it. Yeah, you can. Come on. How many of you watched a little kid? I mean, and you can just see the gears turning in their head. Come on. If you have kids especially, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't have kids yet, one day you will know what I'm talking about. We were playing Monopoly last night. And one person got a piece of property. I won't name names to protect the innocent, but one person got a piece of property, or landed on a piece of property that they were going to have to pay rent on. And I'm telling you what, they reached over and grabbed the piece of property, crumpled it up, and threw it over the back. It's like, nope, they don't have that property no more. So, well, what's that? That's unseemly behavior. I mean, I know that's minor, but that's what it is. You say, well, was it done in a joke? It was done out of a heart saying, I don't want to give away what's mine to someone else. And we even do that with games, like Monopoly. I mean, all through the game, I'm like, guys, it's a game. Nobody here really owns Park Place or Broadway. I own the Boardwalk. I own them, though. But we didn't really own them, even though I did have houses on them and they were paying good rent. But listen, nobody really owns them. Nobody really owns them. And listen, if we'll act that way with simple little games, you know, say, oh, they're kids. No. We act that way with simple little games. How do we act in real life? And you say, well, why would we act that way? Because of a heart condition. Why would we seek to get our own? Well, it starts with a heart condition. Why would we be easily provoked? Well, listen, it's a heart condition. But if I had a heart of charity, if I had that heart condition, then that solves all of those things. Charity rejoices not in iniquity of others. It rejoices not in the iniquity of others. Charity bears, believes, hopes, and endures. That's what charity does. You say, well, where are all those things start? Not in our actions. They start right here in our heart. Start right here in our heart. Look at the conclusion. I know what time it is. Just look at the conclusion there with me. Charity is the grace that proves the believer to be mature in his faith and practice. We have an opportunity to show this world the kind of action that could only come from God. Amen. Only come from God. But if we're going to be able to show them that kind of action, guess what's going to have to take place first? We're going to have a heart that is transformed and defined by charity. And if we'll have that, then we can be able to show that kind of action. That kind of action. Certainly, we would fail to say we completely understand the love of God toward man. Would we not? I mean, someone says, oh no, I completely understand how much God loves me and how God's shown and lavished His love. No, I'm telling you, words cannot define, nor could we comprehend the love of God towards us. As well, the charity we have towards our fellow man should be beyond them to understand. Come on. The charity that we have towards our fellow man, it should cause them to stop and like, I don't get it. I don't understand this kind of activity. I don't understand that kind of spirit. Why? Because it's not a spirit that man can know. It is only one that comes from God. It is only one that's placed in man by God. Because, listen to me, God's the only one that could define it if He tried. May the life of a child of God be defined by such a word. I mean, defined in such a way that this world would be without words to look at our heart toward them. And our, if you will, our care for them. And it begins right here. It's going to manifest it in our actions. But it begins between us and between God. And allowing our heart to be changed to allow His will to be done so that, listen, so that His love can be seen. Yeah. Let's have our heads bowed, our eyes closed.